You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rasuli wa khatami al-anbiya wa ala alihi laskiya wa ashabihi latqiya amma ba'd. I once heard my teacher saying something very beautiful. He wrote a very small line of poetry, which I felt had a lot of meaning. He said, "Jo zindagi guzarega Ramzan ki tarah, jo zindagi guzarega Ramzan ki tarah, maut aayegi usko Eid ke chand ki tarah." That the one who turns Ramadan into his entire life, the one who takes Ramadan beyond the 30 days of the month, and turns his entire life into Ramadan, then for that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him Eid on the day he passes away. The joy and happiness he will experience the day his soul is returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be beyond imagination. The month of Ramadan is not the end of our journey. And as Ramadan comes closer, many of us are thinking that I'm done, or my journey comes to an end. The reality is that the journey only starts in Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us Ramadan kind of like a refill of energy inside our tank. It's a refiller. It fills us up with energy. And now this energy that we have, that we've gained in Ramadan, we have to make sure it lasts for the next 11 months. And what happens is that if we do not take care of this energy, and if we don't reserve this energy, then it may be very possible that just the day of Eid itself, all of that energy will be gone, and we will come back to square one all over again where we left off before Ramadan even started. And this happens. We talked about this earlier the other day. This is exactly what happens. The night where the moon has been sighted, after that very same night, people are engaging in haram. I was once invited to a gathering, and in that gathering, men and women were dancing together inside a person's basement. It was a very big house. In the basement, they were having a chandar party, and people were dancing away. And I was thinking to myself that shaitan was just released, and now we're back to his slaves again. We've gained energy to fight against shaitan in the month of Ramadan. We've gained strength, and we've learned how to say no to shaitan. But when shaitan comes out and shows us a little temptation and flexes his muscle a little, we can't give in to shaitan. We have to learn to stand up against shaitan. And if we cannot use the energy of Ramadan to continue after Ramadan, then Allah knows what will come to help us change in our lives. Because Ramadan is something that is beyond just normal. It's a very, very, very special month. The scholars, when they talk about the word Ramadan itself, they say the word Ramadan comes from the Arabic word Ramadha. And Ramadan is the very, very, very hot soil. They call it Ramadan. And the reason why the scholars say Ramadan is called Ramadan is because just as the heat purifies an impure metal, if you put impure metal inside meat, inside heat, it takes the impurities out and gives you the pure metal. The same way the month of Ramadan is here to purify us from the impurities that we hold within ourselves. So we have to take Ramadan outside this month. We have to take our actions outside this month. And that's what we find from many scholars. They say that yes, Laylatul Qadr is in the month of Ramadan. Yes, Laylatul Qadr is in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Yes, Laylatul Qadr is in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But if a person knows how to utilize his time, every single night of the year can turn into Laylatul Qadr for that person. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limitations of how much he can reward a person, and he can only reward a person that much in that night. Yes or no? Allah can give a person the reward of 1,000 months of worship any night of the year. Is Allah restricted to that? Of course he's not. He can give it whenever he wants. But you have to know how to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to learn how to beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to continue on with Ramadan after the month of Ramadan even comes to an end. When we fast in the month of Ramadan, we have to ask ourselves one very important question. That why is it that we fast in this month? What's the reason that we fast? Who are we fasting for in this month? We are fasting for none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who we are fasting for in the month of Ramadan, And if it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who we are struggling to gain taqwa for in the month of Ramadan, then why is it that we stop once the month of Ramadan has been announced and the month of Shawwal has been announced? That Ramadan has come to an end and Shawwal has started. Why do we stop there? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't leave after Ramadan, does He? Allah azza wa jalla is still after that. And this is a sign for those people who are seriously looking for their true intention. Why are we fasting? Are we actually fasting because it's just a custom? Are we fasting out of fear of being called out by the people that this person, he's not a good Muslim because he doesn't worship in the month of Ramadan? Or are we fasting because it's just the norm? Or are we fasting because of Allah? Because the person who's trying to gain taqwa for Allah, his journey does not end when Ramadan ends. And this is exactly what Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said to the companions when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. There were certain sahaba who thought the purpose of life was over and there was no point living anymore. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said to them in a very historical lecture, he said to them that whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad has now, he's passed away, he's gone. Whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad has passed away, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But whoever used to worship Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيُّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Allah is alive and Allah is never going to die. So your deen doesn't stop with the end of the passing away, with the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, your deen doesn't stop with the end of Ramadan. It continues on. We have to go ahead and make the rest of our life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want to continue on with whatever energy we have gained in Ramadan, post-Ramadan, the first thing we need to do right now is purify our intentions. The why is it that we are worshipping Allah? Why is it that we are worshipping in the month of Ramadan? If we're doing it for Allah, then it is very possible that after Ramadan, we will be able to continue what we are doing in the month of Ramadan, inshallah al-Aziz. The second thing that's very important is to remember that Ramadan is where we worship Allah excessively. We go above and beyond to worship Allah. For me to ask people to worship Allah in this very same manner outside of Ramadan would probably not be suitable. It may be a little excessive. Someone may say you're asking for too much. But what we do ask for is that continue whatever actions you were doing in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, but maybe in a smaller dosage. So rather than reading one juz a day, if that's how much you are reading in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, at least read one page a day. At least read 5 pages a day. But make sure you continue on with consistency. If you are fasting every day in Ramadan, then let's make a habit of fasting 2 days a week outside of Ramadan. Because we've realized that by fasting 30 days in the month of Ramadan, it wasn't hard. It was a little inconvenient. Maybe it was a little, you know, sometimes it just got a little hard for us. But it wasn't extremely hard and unbearable. There was no fast like that in this Ramadan, inshallah. Okay? And we learn in the hadith that when that does happen, when the fast becomes unbearable, it's not because of the heat or it's not because of we didn't eat well. Usually when the fast becomes unbearable, that's a sign of what? Yes. It's a sign that we were sinning while we were fasting. You guys know the incident of the two ladies? The Sahaba, they said, O Messenger of Allah, they are so ill, they're fasting and they're so ill that we don't think they're going to make it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them and he put a bowl there and he said to them, vomit inside there. And when they vomited, it was as if flesh came out. And he said to the Sahaba that these women were, they were backbiting. That's why their fast became so hard on them. Okay? That's why their fast became hard on them. And from the mafhum mukhalif, or the opposite meaning of this, if sins make fast harder, then dhikr and ibadah makes fast easier. By the reverse meaning of that, we learn that directly, that good deeds and ibadat, dhikr of Allah, makes the fast easier. So if we can't fast every day outside Ramadan, then at least we can fast Mondays and Thursdays, inshallah. Let's make this an intention that I will continue on with something. And we all know that once the month of Ramadan comes to an end, in particular, we should be fasting 6 days of Shawwal. That's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan and adds 6 more days, it's as if he has fasted the whole year. The whole year, because the month of Ramadan is 30 days. Add 6 more days, that's 36 days. Every reward, every action we do is multiplied by 10. 36 times 10 is 360. You got your full year of reward right there. But we need to continue on to fast as the year goes on, inshallah. So, and not only that, reading our Quran. You know, in the month of Ramadan, if we learn to pray 5 times a day, let's make sure we continue that. If in the month of Ramadan we learn to pray our sunnah as well, then let's make sure we continue that. If in the month of Ramadan we learn to pray Taraweeh prayer, then let's continue that by praying Tahajjud prayer, inshallah al-Aziz. If in the month of Ramadan we gave some sadaqat, then let's continue outside Ramadan and giving that as well. So any good that we did in Ramadan, let's try to continue that outside of Ramadan as well. The next thing that's very important for us to do, in order for us to continue on the good things that we did in Ramadan, outside Ramadan, is something that once I remember I was discussing with one of my classmates. And I mentioned this earlier on, that, you know, on Sunday, just reiterating some points from that lecture of ours, that my friend and I were having a discussion that how does a person abandon sin? And he said to me, I said to him, that every time you sin, you should maybe give some sort of penalty, monetary penalty. Then one person said you should say Astaghfirullah 100 times every time you sin. That'll help you stop sinning. We went through a few different options that we should go through, that a person can go through in order to stop sinning altogether. Then one of my friends said something very beautiful. He said, you can give all the monetary penalties you want to, you can give all the sadaqah, the astaghfirullah you want to, but you will never learn to stop sinning until you learn how to hate the sin. The day you learn to hate the sin is the day you can guarantee that you will never do that again. If you can understand all the zulm that takes place behind one production of a single Bollywood movie, wallahi al-azim, you would never watch that again. If you realize what kind of funding that industry gives to within the country itself, and how many oppressed people further go into oppression, and how many innocent people sometimes, because a lot of that dollar is used for the army, and we all know where that army fights, and what that army does, and what kind of corruption the army is in. If we knew that, we would stop ourselves from ever laying eyes on such a thing. But we have to learn to hate the sin. The moment we can learn to hate the sin is the moment we will never ever go back near the sin again. So now, using that very same model, let's again, like I said, flip the meaning over, the mafhum mukhalif of that, flip it over again and look at it from this angle, that we can continue to worship all we want. I can sit here and read to you all the fadail of the amal, all the different virtues of the good deeds, and we can reward you, give you a trophy for every time you finish reading the Quran, and all this other good stuff. But we will never learn to be consistent in our worship until we learn to love our worship. If you learn to love ibadah, if you learn to love Allah, then ibadah will become very easy for you. So in essence, what I'm asking for is that we need to learn to love Allah, we need to learn to love the ibadah. If your ibadah can turn into a passion, then no one will have to come to wake you up for Fajr Salah. No one will need to come and tell you it's time to read the Quran, because you will be the one who desires that. Aisha radiallahu anha says, sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would continuously ask through the night, is it time for tahajjud? Is it time for tahajjud? Is it time for tahajjud? And the entire night would pass by and he would even forget to sleep. You know how sometimes you're anticipating something so much that you keep asking, is it here yet? Is it here yet? And before you know, hours are gone by and you forgot to do anything else. That's how worried and that's how concerned the Prophet ﷺ was for his ibadah. And the Sahaba were the same thing. They were the exact same thing. One Sahabi was captured. And when he was captured, they were hanging him. They were going to kill him in Tan'im. Tan'im is just outside the boundaries of Makkah. This is before Makkah Mukarramah had been conquered. And when he was about to be hung, he started crying. And Abu Sufyan went to him and he said to him, are you finally afraid of death right now? He said, no, I'm not afraid of death. These tears are not because of death. These tears are because I was just hoping that I can have many more lives to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was just hoping that, because Abu Sufyan said, would you rather the Prophet die in your place? He said, never. I would never want anything to happen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I wish I can die many more times for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla, because they had so much pleasure. And this is exactly the same thing that happened with Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radiallahu anhu as well. Him and his army were fighting in the Roman lands, and they were captured by one of the Roman generals. And when they were captured, the Roman general, he saw Abdullah ibn Hudhafa was something special. So he said to Abdullah that, why don't you leave the Muslims and join my army, become Christian, join my army, and I will give you a large portion of my property and we can fight together and we will conquer the lands. So Abdullah ibn Hudhafa looked at this guy and said, what are you talking about? You want me to leave my deen for what? For some property? Get out of here. And then he said to Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, okay, you want to play tough? I'll show you. Then he ordered for a very big pot and he had some liquid in there, maybe oil or water, and he boiled and it was bubbling hot. And he said, I will toss your men one by one all inside there. So he said, Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, I said, look, these men knew what they were standing for when they stepped out of their homes and came in the path of Allah. I don't think they're afraid, because they came for that cause, to give their life for the sake of Allah, if that was what was demanded of them. And one Sahabi was thrown inside, one of his men, another man was thrown inside. And finally the general ordered that Abdullah ibn Hudhafa be thrown inside. And when he was going towards the end of the plaque where he was about to be pushed inside, he started crying. And the general called him back and said, "Are you afraid of death?" And Abdullah bin Hudhafa said, "I'm not afraid of death. I was crying because I was praying to Allah that, oh Allah, it's a shame that I only have one life to give for your sake. If I had enough lives, equivalent to the strands of hair in my body, I would give every one of them for the sake of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And then this Roman general realized that Abdullah bin Hudhafa was no normal person. So he said to him, "You know what? I'll let you free. But there's one condition." He said, "What's the condition?" He said to Abdullah bin Hudhafa, "You have to kiss me on my forehead. If you honor me and kiss me on my forehead, I'll let you free." Abdullah bin Hudhafa said, "I'll only kiss you on the forehead if you promise to let me and all of my men free." He said, "Deal." Abdullah bin Hudhafa kissed him on the forehead. He took his men, left, came directly to Medina Munawwara. When he came to Medina Munawwara, he told the entire story to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting down, he stood up from his place, and he kissed Abdullah bin Hudhafa on the forehead. And he said, "Every man should stand up and kiss Abdullah bin Hudhafa on the forehead for the courage and the wisdom that he had shown in this story." So we learn that these people, their love for Islam or their ibadah wasn't simply because they were pushed or they were forced or their father and mother were forcing them to do it. It was because they wanted to do it. And if we can learn that our ibadah needs to turn into a passion, our ibadah is not for Allah. When we worship Allah, many of us act like we are doing Allah a favor. We are doing Allah a favor. Who are we doing the favor to?
Ourselves.
By doing ibadah, we're doing ourselves a favor. We have to get out of this attitude, this mindset that I'm doing Allah a favor. No one's doing Allah any favor. You're doing yourself a favor. If you can learn to worship Allah properly with muhabba, then watch what kind of barakah. Iqbal said something very beautiful. He said, "Sajda ishko to ibadat mein maza aata hai, khali sajdo mein to dunya basa karti hai." He said, when you worship Allah with love, that's when you're going to learn to enjoy your worship. Sajda ishko to ibadat mein maza aata hai, khali sajdo mein to dunya basa karti hai. These sajdas, these prostrations that are empty of Allah's love, this is all about the dunya. You're thinking about what you're going to do after salah, what needs to be done for the rest of the day, what you did previously. This is all about the dunya. He said, "Log kehte hain ki farz ada karna hai. Aisa lagta hai ki koi qarz ada karna hai." That people say it's time for me to go fulfill my obligation. I have to go fulfill my farz, my obligation. But you act like you're going to pay back some debt. Where is your attitude? If you're going to fulfill an ibadah, you should be excited, you should be happy, not grooming, sad and angry. Then he said, "Tere sajde tujhe kafir na kar de e iqbal, tu jhukta hai kahin aur sochta hai kahin aur." That don't let your prostration be the source of your disbelief. Because you say you're bowing in front of Allah, but your thoughts have nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's learn to love Allah in our ibadah, and we will easily be able to continue these ibadah outside the month of Ramadan. The third thing that's very important is that outside of Ramadan, we must make sure that we surround ourselves with people who do good. Surround ourselves with good people. If we have good friends, if we have good family members, if we have a teacher, we come to the masjid, outside Ramadan, we will easily be able to continue. Because we'll still be praying our salah, inshallah. We're in a good environment, we'll stay away from sins, we're with good people. If we can keep ourselves with good people, you'll be able to do good. But if you keep yourself with bad people, then there is no hope that you'll be able to keep yourself on the straight path. I was saying the other day, that how many people do we actually see on the day of Eid actually even attend salah in the masjid? The masajid are empty. And I believe that anyone who attends the masjid on the day of Eid is truly a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everyone is thinking of party, but they forget about the actual purpose of that party. That purpose of the party is that you're being rewarded for your ibadah. And as soon as Ramadan's over, we forget about our ibadah as well. And, you know, there are other things that the scholars have said as well, that things that can be done in order to continue after the month of Ramadan. But these few things that I said should suffice, inshallah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and ability to continue after Ramadan what we started in the month of Ramadan. And that Allah azza wa jal, like I said at the beginning, jiski zindagi ho Ramadan ki tarah, jiski zindagi ho Ramadan ki tarah, maut aayegi usko Eid ke chand ki tarah. The person who turns his life into the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his death and give him joy on that day like a person experiences on the day of Eid. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Takbir.